It's showtime. The really big idea that has kept me up at night for the past 2 years is finally ready for beta testing. Runner Interrupted is a comprehensive, multi-pronged support system that is right for you if your running journey is currently interrupted for any reason, from injury to pregnancy to life circumstances that are beyond your control but are still your responsibility to manage. Runner Interrupted is included in our basic suite of products that you'll be able to access with your subscription. To be clear, $30 per month grants you access to Maintain, Rebuild, and Runner Interrupted, and you can move back and forth between the programs easily. Life does not always sync neatly with the calendar, and you deserve a program that can meet you wherever you are, whenever you show up. And trust, when you're injured, you are not tapping out of work. You are showing up for different work. Our guided DIY approach gives you everything you need to succeed throughout every phase of your running journey, especially those times when your journey has been interrupted and you are doing the hardest work a runner will ever do. The fun, and make no mistake, y'all, it's my company, can't no one tell me no, so this will be fun, begins on October the 1st. Click the link in the show notes and add your email to the list and you will receive further instructions immediately. Or you can email info@fitnessprotection.com and we will take it from there. Spoiler alert, if you have an account on our website already, make sure your email address and phone number are up to date in there before you email us. If you or someone you know could use a little Coach MK shining a light into their darkness, or you think a program like Runner Interrupted could be cool, be sure to tell them about us. It's taken a lot to bring this to life, and we cannot wait to share Runner Interrupted with the world, but we're going to have to. That's what a beta is for. So don't wait. Get on the list before the beta closes. We honestly have no idea how long it will be before this program is finalized and open to the general public. Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast. You were awesome on that podcast, and you were awesome in all of your responses to all of the comments. I loved watching you. And
thank you.
I was really excited. And you saw you got some good ones. You got some positive feedback too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really nice. And I'm really impressed with how much he engages on that forum too. Like, he responds to everybody who comments. It's really, really great. It seems like a great community that's being built there. So I'm excited.
It's super cool. Well, I can't lie. That's one of the reasons I looked at Substack and was like, we already use Facebook, and Substack is terrific for community building. But I can't, we've already got a little bit of that, and I need to be cautious about.
Yeah.
Because then we would need one Substack per community, and then that kind of gets away from what I wanted. But there, so with what I wanted to build, Substack did not make sense. But You're seeing that it can be a really powerful thing if you have one, if you're like a Patreon or a memberful type of corporation with just, or influencer with one line business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really cool to see how different people are using different platforms, and the way some people use Twitter as kind of their primary ways of like expressing ideas, and Instagram is more decorative, or for some people, Instagram is absolutely where like the kind of the heavy hitting ideas are at. And Twitter is more kind of like, I'm going to put out my biggest Instagram post and then also tweet some other things. I mean, people are really kind of experimenting with the different social media and how each one can, in a really individualized way, kind of benefit them. And it's just, I feel like I'm learning a lot just by being on Twitter more. Oh my God, did I really just say that?
I think you did.
The University of Twitter.
A very millennial with you.
Articulating.
I mean, at least you didn't say that you went to the University of the Google, so.
Ooh, no.
Oh, a dazzling place I never knew.
are buttons.
Oh my God. So this is actually like my nanny when my brother and I were kids. I was like 6 years old when that movie came out. My nanny used to pay my brother and me a quarter each to sing that song in a duet. And like she would have her friends over. I'd be like, oh my God, wait till you see what these kids do. And she would make us stand there and sing it for them.
I totally misunderstood that. I thought you meant that she paid you a quarter to stop singing.
Oh, no. Like, she like begged us to sing. She had to start paying us because we realized that she was getting something out of it. And we were like, we're not doing this for nothing. She was like, all right, give you a quarter. And we were like,
wow, you're driving a hard bargain since the day you were Roz's son.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bigger. I was a little older when this came out. I was like 6 or 7 when Aladdin came out. I remember it as the first movie I sat through successfully in the theater without having to leave because I would get freaked out about the dark and the noise and everything.
And you didn't even have a mom like me that would be like, let me tell you about all the garbage can connotations in the storyline we were watching.
No, I did not. I'm pretty sure I went to see it with a nanny as opposed to my mom. My mom would have some talks with me for sure. There was I told this story at our holiday party last year when my mom took me to see Titanic in movie theaters after much hand-wringing about whether I was old enough and, you know, whether I would really suffer socially because I was the only kid who hadn't seen it. I was the only kid who hadn't seen it, and I was suffering socially, for the record. She took me to see it. We had a great time. And then one day I was sick. She let me stay home without even like fighting me on it, which was very unusual for her. She didn't even like put me through the ringer of how sick are you really? She was just like, all right, you can stay home. Then she went out and bought it on cassette tape. And it came in like those double cassette tape things.
Oh my God.
Or, sorry, not cassettes. That's the VHS. Tape. Yeah, not cassettes. She bought me the double VHS edition of Titanic. And I was just like, oh, what is this? Who are you? And what have you done with my mother? And she's like, let's watch it together. So we sat and watched it, and we're on tape number 2. And we get to the part where, sorry, spoiler alert, Jack and Rose are in the old car and the window fogs up and, you know, the handprint on the foggy window. And at that point, my mom paused the movie. And if you've seen the movie, you know what's happening at this point. She pauses the movie and she turns to me and she goes, what do you think they're doing in there? And I was just like, okay.
Mom, you did not keep me home from school so we could have the talk.
And I remember thinking that maybe if I just stayed very still and very quiet,
wow,
we could pretend the whole thing had never happened.
I'm hoping we've already had that talk because Cheyenne asked very pointed questions about how I got pregnant with Violet.
Okay. So okay.
We got her.
Good for you, Cheyenne.
We got a book that was very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And appropriate for children, of course. Like, it's not like we showed my child porn. But we did. If it did feel, it was, everything about it was awkward because it's everything we've been told not to say or do. Mm-hmm. But if you try to make it for children by giving it cutesy words, you're basically kind of queuing them up for
being very confused, which I was. I had a book.
It's acceptable to other people who would use that against them. Like, you do not want to hang out with people that encourage them to refer to their private parts is like their cupcakes or whatever. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. We went to this safety first thing about, you know, child predators a long time ago. And it was both good and bad, but there's some things you can't unsee. And it's part of the reason why I call out anything problematic when I see it. Cause I'm like, guy's a predator. FYI.
Yeah.
Max is a bad dog. And Secret Life Pets too. He's a predator.
He's trying to see what pets too.
And what had given nothing back.
Yeah. That movie, I know that movie gets 2 thumbs down from you as our Siskel and Ebert thing continues. And I am very grateful because I feel like I don't need to see it now. And,
you'll have to, you've got a Ross and she's going to Ross you into it at some point.
Well, Roz, I think Roz knows how to like save the really big asks for when they really matter. And I think she's already saving them for Frozen 2. I think she's already there in her head. She knows it's coming.
I love that she's already thinking that far ahead. Cause it's not till November, I think, when it comes out.
It's not till November. No, but she knows that it's coming and occasionally she'll ask about it.
But by the way, did you know October is next week?
No, because that means that my marathon is next weekend. So I'm in a little bit of denial. As I said in my newsletter this week, you and I kind of keep forgetting that that's happening. And as a consequence of that, I also keep forgetting that it's October. Time is just like not really, registering in concrete terms. It's flown. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is terrific on one hand. That's what you want. You want to be like, oh, I ran 18 miles this morning with no real connection to, I've got 5 more long runs left and I've got to get this. Next week, I've got 10 miles. The only reason I know I've got 10 miles is because we've got something to do. We really want to go to Anderson Farms. And I've got a big, I hit 47 miles this week. And Coach Tia was like, I think we need a cutback week. And I'm like, okay, it's probably a good idea. And then I took a nap right afterwards and was like, yeah, I probably need a cutback week. But all that to say that I've got five weeks tomorrow till the New York Marathon. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be what it's going to be, but there's no more that I could do and no less that really needs to be done. But it's cool to sort of be in a place where I'm fit enough and it's coming up and it's not pressure and the countdown and I've got to make the money I've spent on this matter through performance. Cause where people have been, where we've been trained to extract value, both by marketers, and just from common sense, because good logic always leads to really great decisions, right?
Yeah.
But there, the line between good marketing, good logic, truth and truthiness, it gets thinner every day. It's one of the reasons I have trouble watching, it's been really the hardest part of the past 2 weeks for me being in this amazing house. Other than the fact that it was built in like 1992 and has not been updated since. It had low water pressure and only moderately warm water. It was so great to come back after 18 miles today and have a hot shower, like steam hot shower that was like, real pressure.
But
real internet, which is a super great boon. And sorry, my brain is like, oh, it's so happy.
Yeah.
From all of that. Oh my gosh, it was so great. It was so great. I don't think I realized how much I had missed a lot of basics being in this really beautiful house in the middle of nowhere. That's just not how we live. And my brain went down a rabbit hole and I forgot what I was talking about. It doesn't matter because I ran 18 miles today and I don't have to function.
Woohoo! You need a cutback week now. It's time. All you're thinking about is like,
oh, I haven't gotten into the comment that you got, and then before I pivot and do the introduction and whatnot, the comment that you got that really got me worked up on that Substack was like, that coach clearly doesn't know what she's talking about. Of course you need tempo runs to get faster. I'm like, the fuck you do. It's all about what you give and when is a coach's job. You can get plenty faster without tempo runs. I'm doing it now. Mm-hmm. You don't need speed work of any kind. What people think speed work actually is versus what you're demanding I let you do. Like in some previous iterations of my programs where it's like I have the speed work and the non-speed work plans. They all had speed work, by the way. They all had strides.
Yeah.
You follow Steph Ruth Rothstein on Twitter. She talks about strides being her favorite speed work. There you go. It's a thing. But I'm not even doing strides right now, y'all. I'm doing nothing but like aerobic maximizing workouts, one of them a week, and a long run, and then easy effort in between. And that's it. And I'm getting faster. And granted, part of that is that I have experience and part of that is appropriate to where I am. But to categorically say the only way to get faster is through hill repeats and speed work and tempo runs and getting on the track is wrong.
Yeah.
And you're going to have people come at you with good logic or what sounds like a really solid argument. And you got to remember, no one invited them to be on the podcast. They invited you. Dr. Coach Sarah.
That's right.
University. Right. Is here to speak about running, boys and girls. That's
awesome. It was very fun. It was kind of surreal to be, even when I was in academia and I was pursuing, I was in the same field for, 10 years or whatever it was. I don't even remember at this point. I never really got to a point where anyone...
Did it feel like... was it a whole new world, Sarah?
It was. It was a whole new world. It was a dazzling place I never knew. To be like asked questions in a way, like from someone who was like, I am curious to hear your response, and I am asking you in your capacity as a coach with like no hidden agenda, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing didn't happen very often. At best, my students would ask those kinds of questions with that kind of openness. But anywhere where I was talking with like other professionals, just not so much a thing most of the time. And so to like be asked in an interview that's going to be recorded and distributed to a bunch of people to talk about this thing that I love to talk about, but I'm still getting used to people actually asking me about and viewing me as any sort of an authority on, is very cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's imposter syndrome takes a while to go away. And you have to remember, like, you were chosen for a very good reason. And every time you go on a podcast and every time like people ask you questions, I'm just like, I found her. I'm like proud mama over here. Because when you win, we win. And that's how it will always be. Like in my brain, like when, like every time you do something super cool, I'm just like, of course she did. Of course, she's Dr. Coach Sarah of Harvard University. She doesn't lose.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
It's very empowering. And it means a lot to me. You have a lot of faith in me, and it really shows, and it makes my job really fun and exciting and cool. And it makes me feel excited to do things that are kind of out there and a little bit scary and a little bit new.
Yay. Well, especially since we're surrounded by such a terrific team. And if Kara is still here, our wayfinder, it helps
Kara!
My messy, messy brain to two dimensional pieces of paper. And we've got some good ones coming your way. I made it a point not to bother you this weekend, Kara, because I knew you were at your reunion, and I'm sorry I did bother you on Friday. I hope it was great, and you had safe travels back. Huge congratulations to Tamara Payton, who is
Tamara.
I think Iron Tam is. I'm like, we need to get that on a t-shirt for her.
Iron Tam. Oh my God, I love it.
So great. She completed the. Oh, what was the name of it? I want to say Battle of the Run. That's not right. It has a ferocious sounding name.
I don't know. Her Strava is not helping me out. I got to say.
Oh, man.
Gotta get in there. All it just says morning ride, 53.23 miles. Okay. Let's have it. I don't know the name of the event from looking at her Strava. I just know the amazing things that she did. And I am totally blown away. I once did a sprint today, and it was so hard. It was so hard. And I have never wanted to do it again, to be perfectly honest, because that it's just so much work to be good at three sports at once. I know we have triathletes in our group and maintain two.
Oh yeah.
I respect all of that work so much. That's something that I watch people do and just think like, wow, you're a superhero to me.
Cause I know you haven't done any of the training courses yet. And if you want to, we'll talk about it if there's a time and a place for it, but I'm kind of like, it's if you really want the knowledge, I don't know. But when it comes to multi-sport training, it is a different world from single sport training. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's funny about it, and the reason that I've coordinated with multi-sport coaches in the past, is that they're not specialists on running or biking or swimming. And they're very open about that. And all the really good ones who I've interacted with anyway, because it's a different beast. They're like, I'm not going to make your biking better. I'm going to send you to a bike coach. I'm not going to make your running better. I'm going to send you to a run coach or a swim coach. I'm not here to perfect your swim technique. I'm here to put all of this together because, you know, you can go off and master one sport and then come back and then something else is going to fall apart when we add two more sports to it. Multi-sports is a very different thing. And it's, and I remember that being kind of like pounded in my head the first couple of times I asked about it. People don't take this seriously enough. People don't take this seriously enough. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ever heard that, I had been awakened to 2 a.m. I can't tell the story frequently enough because it's true. 2 a.m, I'm practicing, cauterizing an artery with my non-dominant hand in the middle of nowhere, Hong Kong, for a wilderness course that was required to get the insurance, required to participate in an ultra I wanted to do.
Wow.
So, because the most training was going to happen in places. This was before cell phones were standard, before satellite phones were everywhere. And we were going deep into rural China for a lot of our training. So, you know, the chances of you getting help or a life flight weren't that good. So you needed to know how to take care of yourself and the person around you, knowing, assuming like, I don't care how small you are, a 96-pound person doesn't sound like a whole lot until they are knocked out from a rattlesnake bite and you're trying to move dead weight. 96 pounds is very, very effing heavy. So even someone teeny tiny, you're probably not going to be able to move out. Anyway, I say all that to tell you that to tell you this. Think whenever someone says people don't take this seriously enough, they have my undivided attention. And the third time I heard that was from a multi-sport coach. So I tell you all that to underscore how big of a commitment it is to, I'm just going to do a triathlon. There's no just, mm-hmm. It is some badassery. And she did not just do, not only was it a multi-sport event and a triathlon, it was a half Ironman. Tam just YOLO'd a half Ironman. She's, oh, it's not that much more. I ride that much and I run halves all the time. It's fine. It is.
Susan says it was 95 degrees, by the way. Like, can you even imagine?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, it's so just amazing. She has not had good luck with race weather in her past. I know in the recent past, but she powers through so many things. Tamara, if you're listening to this, I'm so happy for you. And I'm being reminded of the interview that we did after 3 days of the fair. And you've just like, you have tackled some amazingly epic things in the past year. Like,
oh, she'd been doing board meetings with her husband on a trip by herself, like all day long on Saturday, to wake up at 5:30 and go yesterday. Like, so this had been like one of her heaviest work weeks of the year. Ends on Saturday night and she just like yellows a half Ironman on Sunday morning.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Tamara. It's amazing.
I see a comment from Allison. She says,
yeah, like, I was just going to say, this is a great comment.
You don't have to be great at any one sport. Many average athletes live for that reason. And you know what? I'm all for that. I'm all for that. And I feel like people can't appreciate in a single sport what they've done, and it will never cease to, you know, bother me. Like, you just ran a marathon. You just ran for a really long time. You ran fast for a really long time. Who cares if that fast compares to other people's best? You did something terrific, and that there's something about it. People just kind of tear themselves down. Yeah. I hope they are less likely to do that in multisport, because I don't think anyone needs to be great. You just need to be prepared, and then you need to be there. That's it. And that's some serious badassery. Yeah, but somehow most of us have been conditioned to pee in our own Cheerios for one reason or another. And that's something I hope in my lifetime to unravel in folks. But yeah, the jump from one to three sports is a really big one. And if you are really good at one of the three, it isn't odd for one of those to diminish in some way. So not doing so well on the bike when you've been a biker your whole life, or on the run when you've been a runner forever and you're good at this running thing, that it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you suck. It just means that you've added two more sports to it. Two feet moving in literal different directions in different planes of motion. And that's really, because when and then on a final note on this, a couple of weeks ago in one of these broadcasts, I talked about critical adaptations, crucial adaptations mm-hmm. that happen in your feet, your tendon joints, your ligaments. There's a long list of them, and there's no subverting them. There's no getting through them more quickly. It's a biological process of adapting your body to whatever it is that you're going to do. There's really no way to speed it up. And that's one of the reasons why training plans have to take a certain period of time. Ours are shorter because we keep you running year round. So you need less time. We just never let the critical adaptations go. But that is one of the reasons why it's so hard in multi-sport, because there are critical adaptations now, and not just one, but three different sports that you need to maintain in order to be race ready year round. Granted, it doesn't take very much. It can be, if you think running is a time suck, swimming is a bit more of one.
Yeah.
No offense to any swimmers. I live in Denver. I do not have a pool in my backyard anymore. Even when I did last week, I don't think I could have gotten, I shudder to think, I don't think the swimming I was doing would compare to what Tam was doing to prepare for this, by the way. For those of you just joining the stream, my name is Coach MK Fleming. You can hear on the phone, this is Dr. Coach Sarah of Harvard University. Yay! And this is, we are the coaches of the Fitness Protection Program. This is our weekly Ask Away live stream, where we answer all the questions and the minds and hearts of our runners in the Fitness Protection Program. We have two suites of programs and a third that's going to be opening very soon. Yay! Maintain is for runners who have a modicum of fitness they would like to maintain between training cycles. Rebuild is for folks who have taken an extended break. We don't really care why. It could be pregnancy. It could be injury.
you could be in a period where you just want to maintain your sanity and keep some of those critical adaptations that we talked about. Rebuild is for you. The third suite of programs, which we are very excited, fingers crossed, will be opening in a couple of weeks. Runner Interrupted. It's a comprehensive support program to get runners or any type of athlete, but I think runners will probably appreciate it the most, through periods of injury. That should kick off on October 1st. If you are on our email list, you should have received a link. Click here at the very top of the email. Click here in yellow. Click that word here and you'll be redirected to a landing page that will allow you to sign up when the pay link is ready to go live to jump into Runner Interrupted. Once you've signed up, it will further instructions will be there.
Yay! We've been working really hard on getting the content all ready to go for this, and I am really excited about it. I got to watch MK over a video conference kind of like have an epiphany and then just start typing and not stop until an hour later, and I just kind of watched that happen. This is MK's brain at its best, you guys. You don't want to miss out on it. I'm so excited. I'm so, so glad that we're finally on the verge of really doing this. Yay!
It's so good. And none of this would be made possible at all without our Wayfinder, Kara. Kara,
we love you, Kara.
And y'all are going to love Kara too. But as soon as you see the brilliance that she's put together, God, it is very, very, very exciting. Yay.
Yes. Yay.
So with that, we're already half an hour in. We should probably answer some questions.
We should probably answer some questions as promised. The first,
because otherwise we might have to...
Oh my God.
We have to listen to this some more. We're only dreaming a whole new world. I love that. I'm sorry. It's so bad. Did you read the comments?
No, I didn't read the comments. I guess not. You're saying I have to click it again?
You do. The comments are amazing. If you've got to read the comments while you listen, dear God, what am I watching? I need to get a hobby.
Okay. All right. I will. I promise.
Anyway, sorry.
I'm on my to-do list for tomorrow.
I might do that again throughout this. See, I have to do it because y'all didn't click the button this week. It's like you're on to me. Well, I'll show you.
You thought you were outsmarting MK, but really.
Yeah. Give me an opening.
Anyway, we do have questions to answer. We are going to answer them. And the first question is our only question in Rebuild tonight. But it is definitely worth answering because some people are getting smacked in the face by life right now. And we definitely know what that's like. So here's the question. How many more weeks is Uranus in retrograde? Asking for a friend. More good life. Question. Yes, good question. And I will let MK answer that in a second. More life happening in September than expected. And I haven't run more than twice this month and haven't been keeping up with walking much in the last week. But I managed work travel, got a raise, and am replacing both cars at once. Am I still winning at life? And
yes.
Short answer is yes, you definitely are.
Uranus is in retrograde until, depending on which theory of astrology you follow, January the 1st or January the 11th. I'm counting. I always opt for the later of the two, and so it's 13 weeks, potentially 14. But it's the same weekend as the Disney Marathon. Yay! So by the time running Disney, that'll be happening right as Uranus comes out of retrograde and Roz comes in.
Yes, you can have my headphones. Just a second.
Hi, Roz.
Hi. Oh, she can't hear you yet. Hold on. All right. Ready? Can you hear MK now?
Yeah.
She's there.
No, I need to wear my
headphones. Okay, you can wear the headphones.
I need to wear her headphones.
Okay.
You need to wear them, Mommy.
Yeah, she's wearing them. You're wearing them now. Can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
I can meet you. I can't wait for you to come see me. We're going to go shop for earrings.
Yeah.
Kay.
There she is.
I am Kay.
Hi, Roz. Did you have a good bath?
With everyone Sunday night. Did you have a good bath?
Yes. No, my hair is long.
Yeah.
I can do a long braid.
It smells very good, too.
You could do four braids.
Roz is known for her many braids, as known in these programs and elsewhere.
I'm just saying Tristan needs to be known for those braids.
Yes, you have done them before.
That was a time.
I would just like credit to go where it's due.
And
Roz's braids. Okay. He thought you were talking about braiding his own hair. He did have hair long enough to braid once upon a time.
My husband did too, which is so hard for me to fathom.
I need to see a picture of that at some point.
Okay.
One last question for MK, and then you gotta go.
Good night, MK.
Good night, Roz. Thank you for coming to see me.
No, I love you. Here, kiss. Mwah. Love you. Okay, so back to Uranus and retrograde.
It's going to be there for a while, but remember, this is Uranus and retrograde in Taurus, and Taurus is a sign of stability. So this is going to be blowing up things that are in your comfort zone. It's not the end of the world. There are offsets, not quite like a carbon offset, but so when you said this has happened, life's in the face, but I got a raise, there will be things like this that keep you going, but things that you probably needed to get rid of, or things that changes that needed to happen that you didn't really want to make or weren't ready to make, they're going to be forced on you. So as long as you're kind of ready to pivot and keep moving forward and not like be so spun out at the loss of a sense of control, we're going to get through this together and it's going to be fine. It's which is a really hard thing to do. So I say this as a woman who's sitting here with no pants on because everything is being washed. I'm covered, but I'm not wearing what I really wanted to be wearing at all. So we ended up in a house in the fanciest part of Denver, depending on who you talk to, is Cherry Hills Village. Old Cherry Hills Village is like this big, and houses there never go on sale. This family, it was VRBO insurance put us up. And when I heard where we were going, I was like, what? How the F are we going to get in Cherry Hills Village? They do. I cannot imagine the homeowners association allows Airbnb to happen, but there's one that's grandfathered in and they can't stop him from doing anything. And they certainly can't make him upgrade this house. The house was fine. It had a pool and a hot tub, which is very nice, but it did not have hot water. It did have spiders. And it was huge. Ooh. It was like 4,000, 5,000 square feet. And when it was time to go, when we found out that we were only gonna have to stay there 2 weeks as planned, this was not going to be the never ending renovation. The kids looked at me and they were like, I'm ready to go home, Mom. I want to all sit on the couch together and have family time. Cause that was one thing we could not do in that house. The things that we love to do, we couldn't do. And we didn't end up using the pool that much. The hot tub though, we're looking into putting one in the backyard now. Cause I'm like, that is just useful. That is a need.
Yeah.
First world need. But all that, I tell you that to tell you this, it was really uncomfortable being disrupted like that at a time after the cancer scare. My kids have been through a lot. It was like we had just gotten into a routine at school. It was the last thing we thought that we needed. But you know what? I'd forgotten that 4 years ago when we were doing the first round of renovations of this house, we had wanted a brand new floor and decided not to do it at the time, even though we really needed it, because we were afraid of what we would find once we pulled the floor up. And someone casually said, what you need to do is hope for a water leak and then let insurance pay for it. And then walked out the door very casually. And I'd forgotten that until we basically talked to someone connected to that person and they reminded us. And we were like, oh, and thank God we hadn't. Because if we had replaced it back then, turned out there was a hole in the side of our house that we weren't aware of. We would have been throwing that money away. Because yeah. What happened would have happened a second time. And we might not have been, insurance might not have been willing to play on it. Because they could have said, well, this happened because you didn't take care of the side of the house. So a lot, all of that, it could feel like this is the end of the world. There's a hole in the side of our house. I got a free floor. I got a free ceiling. I got to paint the living room a new color. I'm just looking at the bright side. Like this was not optimal. It was really dark. And I know that sounds silly. I'm a city girl. I wake up with the sun. When I can't see the sun, it freaks me out. And there are a whole lot of trees in Cherry Hills Village in this house. And it was like dark until 8 a.m., not because it's dark outside, but because it was dark in the house. And it was very disorienting. So it was not a bad thing. And I'm not complaining, but I look at it and I'm like, there was a part of me that thought like, you know, when we feel behind, when we look at what our classmates are doing and the money that they're earning and the trips that they're taking, and we're like, we have a very different lifestyle because we have four children, one income, and just live our life a little bit differently, not better or worse. It's just a different asset allocation. And we wonder sometimes, are we doing this right? Should we have more? Are we shortchanging our children? And these past 2 weeks of disruption that we really didn't need or want, that was very scary because we didn't know how long this was going to go on. And it was good, but not ideal. At the end of it, we could look at each other and say, you know what? We really like our life. We really like our life. So now we're just waiting for the next disruption, since that was the lesson that needed to be learned. That is what Uranus in retrograde is all about. So whatever, if life has you by the face right now, I see you. Hang on to your sanity. Look for the learning moment and don't make it about you or the loss of control. Just go with it and know that this is only going to go on for a little bit longer. And where the comfort needs to come from is in your ability to adult, your ability to troubleshoot, your willingness to ask for help, and your willingness to say, for lack of a better term, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just one additional note. This morning at my church, I go to a Unitarian church. It's actually the church that I grew up going to as well. There is a new minister, and this morning his wife gave the sermon, and I really liked her. I like him too, but I really liked her. And the topic was wild patience. And just like thinking of patience, not as passivity, but as sort of an active acceptance, like, no, and that seems like counterintuitive, right? Or like an oxymoron, but it's knowing that things are the way they are right now and it could never be otherwise. And kind of how that influences the way you then decide what to do next. And that kind of acceptance is the only thing that will allow for there to be a change in that circumstance. And it really spoke to me. I've been thinking about it all day. And I thought of it just now with that very last thing that you said. And I think that you have done a really, really good job of that. You know, you have torn out your hair a few times, as one does when your ceiling is falling down on your head. But you also really,
that's why they're all short.
Exactly.
What happened now? Yeah.
but you know, then you had a fun time with the pool in your backyard and had people over and really embraced that. And everything you just said is really amazing. And I'm really happy that there was something in it for you, in the way of just discovering that you really like your life. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was any sense of we're behind or guilt of not doing more professionally, or that, you know, which is not to say that this is not enough. It's just not what I ever saw myself doing. Kind of like it's not what you ever saw yourself doing, but that doesn't mean that what we're doing is the wrong thing. And I don't know that we'll ever make enough money with this to buy a house in Cherry Hills Village, but you know what? I don't want a house in Cherry Hills Village. I want a house. I want closets. I would love to take his walk-in closet out of this house. I want the hut. I want the open kitchen with the dining room connected right there. And I can leave the rest. And that, knowing that and seeing how we live now and what we missed, and there was so much that we missed of our house, and it wasn't even our stuff. I missed movie night on our big L-shaped couch, watching our screen, because their room, their TV room was huge. It's very long. And all of us ended up sitting like on a picnic style on the floor in front of it, mm-hmm. because the couch was so far back, you couldn't see what's happening on the TV with my glasses.
Yeah.
So it's probably too long of an answer now, but it's only going to go on for 14 more weeks. And really what needs to change right now is your attitude towards the things that give you a sense of stability, and making sure that sense is actually coming from here in your ability. Cause things going wrong is super frustrating. And when this is bigger than Mercury in retrograde, but it's still going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the meantime, we're here for you. It does not matter if you don't run a step. It really just doesn't. No. You're always in there checking in with us. I'm always glad to see you. It doesn't matter to me how much or how little you have run. It's nice to feel connected to you. Because you have a lot going on.
And that's what someone said in the threads this week. Like they were like, or in an email to me, like, I'm sorry, I haven't been speaking up in the threads much, but I didn't really want to say, oh, I haven't run again. And I'm like, that's it. And I did a live stream in the room and was like, this This is exactly what I want to hear from you.
I love that. Like, yes. That
is just the time to come in. This is not for, we're never talking about the running, period. Even when we're talking about the running, we're still probably not talking about the running. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't have to run today to add value in that thread. Tell us why you didn't. And it's not a confessional where we're going to give you absolution. Just like, hey, today sucked. I wanted to run and I haven't. Maybe I can after work, but I don't really want to because I'm so tired. All I want to do is sit in the hot tub and eat Cheetos. Do that. None of us, you will never be judged or shamed here.
Yeah. Because we've all made the choice to get up and go out instead of eating Cheetos. And we've all eaten the Cheetos too.
Yeah.
And I think just being reminded, and there's a question in here that's going to make me come back to this, but being reminded that like, you are not the only one who's being called by the Cheetos and you are not the only one who sometimes chooses the Cheetos. I think that can be really, really powerful and really validating. And I always want to give that to you.
I'm going to have to make that tomorrow's mantra, choose the Cheetos.
Yes, do it. Oh my God. I love it. Do it.
This whole like fitness industry, like I wrote in my newsletter, the fitness industry propaganda is predicated upon the fact that you're lazy and you're stupid and you're not going to do it unless someone kicks you in the pants. Exactly. And I hate that.
Oh, me too.
I'm like, if you can't complain about not having performance if you didn't do the work, but is that if you've signed up for something and you're reaching for a goal and you didn't reach it in 12 or 16 weeks, does that really mean that you suck? Is that really fair? That's something separate to the rest of it. If your body is telling you to choose Cheetos, I ate everything today, y'all. Everything. It's really not an exaggeration. I'm like, I hesitate to name everything that I ate because this is the biggest long run I've done in a while. That was a big week. That was probably too big a jump from the week before, but I wasn't really paying attention. I'm excited that I was fit enough to do it. There's prices coming with that. And that price is hunger.
Yes.
So I'm not worried about it. I'm like, I'm hungry. Eat more. I'm hungry. Yeah. Eat more. What you don't do is say, I'm hungry. I think I'll have a glass of water and then see if I'm hungry. No,
right. No,
you eat when you're hungry. Like, it's a very basic thing that we've been taught not to do. Right. So if you're in having a day where, and remember, your body does not differentiate between psychological and physiological stress. Last year was probably the most stressful of my life. There was a day where I was sitting in a room with my arm up in the air. Remember, I dislocated my shoulder. This was the only comfortable position I could get into. And no one was listening to me and it was ridiculous. And I'm like, I paid a sitter to hold the last baby that's ever going to come out of my body so I could sit here and be mistreated in a lot of pain. F this. And I started making a lot of changes. I made those changes quickly. I had one at a time over the course of a year. I have removed systemically and systematically most of the big stressors from my life. The only thing that remained was the one thing I couldn't control, and that was my health. Now that is out of the way. And that happened right before Uranus kicked into retrograde. So where I'm going with this is there might be a lot of stressful things in your life that is compounding what you're feeling and your need to rest and relax. Listen to that. The $30 a month you pay to be here, it's not for a run plan. It's for a tether to this thing so that you can and will come back to it when time allows. You're not throwing your money away each day you don't run. That is what a gym membership has tried to convince you so that you don't walk away and then come sign up again. That is not what we do. I made it cheap enough that it would be a tether that you would want to hold on to in a month where you hadn't done the work. Ani Rasgrub, I give Michael credit for this. When I did my pricing analysis for how I wanted to do the pricing for the Fitness Action Program and all of my projections, remember Michael said when that startup asked him to be on the board and he was like, pay me so little that you won't be mad at me if I don't do anything over the course of the year. And that worked out well for everyone involved. I'm like, I'm going to charge you so little that you won't be mad at me in a month where you didn't run. Because that's not where the value is. That was not the value of having Michael Grubb, Dr. Michael Grubb of Boston University on their board. Doing the run is not where you're deriving the value from this program as well. You're really paying for the tether. And the tether's, it is the name of the newsletter, but it's more than that. Jump in and participate in those threads. Talk to us, stay tethered, and everything will come back to you. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. And on that note, I want to switch to maintain. And the first question in maintain, I think, is going that this is the question where I have some additional comments on eating all the food, as we were just talking about. So it's a very serendipitous question. And the question is, does anyone else suddenly want to eat all the things during taper? Or is it just me? Parentheses, no. I'm fine during the regular schedule. It is not just you. My notes only say in all caps, yes. And so I think what I'm getting from this question that isn't being made explicit is the worry that people have about I'm running less, therefore I'm burning fewer calories. So shouldn't I be, consuming fewer calories? And I just want to say, like, I understand where that fear comes from. And I was reminded of it very suddenly this week when there was this tweet that went out from someone who has written a lot of marathon training books, whose marathon training book I bought back in the day. And I remember reading this literally word for word, this exact sentence in the book 10 years ago, saying, be careful what you eat during taper. You don't want to put on too many extra pounds. Extra trips to the fridge are no good. It's a very scoldy comment. And I don't know whether this person actually manages the Twitter account or whether someone does it for them. But like that phrase from the book got tweeted out this past week. I am in taper right now. I am definitely super hungry. And I was like, oh, wow, that brings me right back to like staring at the page at that sentence and being like, okay, what do I do then? Because I'm so hungry and I'm confused. And now I feel like a bad person. I remember having that feeling. And I remember just like begging the book to tell me more about why and about what to do instead. And it was not there. And now I feel like I see it much more clearly. And when I saw that tweet, I was just like, oh, that makes me so mad. It makes me so mad that that's out there. Like, how is that helpful? How is that helpful at all? Like, oh, okay. I saw this person tweet this thing, and now, all right, now I know that I shouldn't be making extra trips to the fridge, which just is such a meaning way to talk about hunger.
Well, you want to hear fun
about that? Yeah,
you want to hear a fun perspective on it?
Please.
So, I still see an acupuncturist, a Chinese Eastern medicine practitioner, and this happened. The day where my arm was in the air and I'm like, I'm making some changes. We're just going face first down the rabbit hole I'm going to get better no matter what it takes. That was one of the first steps that I took. I'm like, acupuncture, why not? I mean, how much, I'm a white woman. Why not go do some white womaning, short of adopting a fancy dog I can't afford, because I'm sad. Then step two is let's get some acupuncture. What would Gwyneth Paltrow do? The thing that I liked about the guy and the reason I still see him is his perspective is so cool. It is worth it when I walk through the door. Is the tea that I'm drinking helpful? I kind of don't care. There was a night when after surgery, I was like starting. I remember him asking me, how do you feel? What's going on? Let's talk about the tea. And, I want to see if I can get up your dose a little bit. And I'm like, I am really hungry. I am hungry every night. I'm hungry all, not in the morning, but like towards the afternoon and at night, I am ravenous. And he's like, oh, good. Oh, good. I'm like, really? Oh, good. And he's like, yeah, that's metabolic change. That's what we want, right? And I'm like, yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. Okay. What do I do? Do I drink more tea? He's like, no, you eat.
That's amazing.
He's like, my recommendation though is, and he is very specific. He's like, part of what you're, for me, he said, you need to go make a pot roast. So having like really soft, he's like, you don't need huge amounts of it, but he meant a pot roast. He's like, he's telling me not to be American and go buy like the biggest one from Costco possible. But rather he's never talking to once about portion sizes. He was just like, what you want is a quick hit of protein and probably iron. And that point, you don't want to stoke the fire because you're already such a fiery type of personality. You don't want to up the ante. You want it to simmer down so you can go to bed. And when you're feeding, metabolic activity can make it really hard to sleep. And I was like, yeah, I know. That's why I don't like eating late at night. If I eat late at night, it's really hard to go to sleep. He's like, yeah, that's a function of metabolism. He's looking at me funny.
And
it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
He's like, have it ready, have a little extra helping of protein, maybe at dinner, and then set aside a little bit of pot roast for you, after. So if you eat dinner at 5:30 with the kids, have it around 7:30 just after you come down, sit down and enjoy it, and then do whatever it is that you need to do for the rest of the night. And I'm like, oh, that was so transformative. So my response to you about the tapers, I'm going to tell you what Dr. Chang said. Dr. Chang's like, yay. You know, I'm not worried about you eating more. Are you still hungry during the taper? That's amazing. That's metabolic change. That's exactly what we want. Good for it. What do I do about it? You eat.
Good. I like that answer because that's what I've been doing. And it's great.
Good answer.
It's great. This is the best taper I've ever had. And I have had, and people have mentioned this in the Facebook group too, that they're having this like random sort of, oh, my foot just suddenly hurts kind of pop up and then go away. So that stuff is there for me, but it's not like getting into my head the way it has in the past. And yeah. Also, I am hella eating and it's great. I'm enjoying it.
Yay, metabolic change.
Yay, metabolic change. I'm so glad I don't own that book anymore. And you'll note I went very far out of my way not to name this particular person's name because I'm not ready to put people on blast my little platform here. But
I mean, anyone following you on Twitter could figure it out.
Probably, yes. If you're curious, email me and I'll tell you. All right, next question. Saturdays are getting busy around here. Can I flip-flop the Friday and Saturday runs or do I need to do more schedule rearranging than that? Yeah. I have Fridays off, so they're great for long runs.
Yeah.
All right, there's your answer. Yeah, do it. One additional thing that I'll say in case this appeals to you, I just shift the whole schedule because I also like doing long runs on Fridays. So my long run is on Friday and then my Saturday is totally off and I love having Saturday off and then Sunday I do Monday's run. So that's also an option, but it's really like there's something particular about having Saturday off that I really like. And that's why I do it that way. Whatever works best for you, do that. Whatever's most likely to make you excited and like, oh, I love my running schedule because it, you know, fits in so nicely with my life schedule. Do that.
Perfect.
Okay. Next question. If I want to swap out a run for a bike ride, is the heart rate cap the same? I think I heard somewhere that it should be 8 to 10 beats lower because you don't have to support your own weight.
This is true. I just think it's easier. This is why it's a cap, not a target, right? I don't need you getting it up to 140 ever. So I wouldn't be like, thou shalt keep it firmly at 130 because you have to work pretty hard on a bike. On a stationary bike, you're at a soul cycle or a spin class, they're going to have you working harder than that much time. But if you are biking somewhere, if you're bike commuting, you have to work really hard to get your heart rate even up to 140. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be militant about keeping the 130 cap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because this is where power comes into play. It is more, as long as you're not up a hill, it is more power to run than to cycle. So that's really the differentiating factor. And we could talk about power and get really like technical about it. And it really doesn't matter, man. I mean, if what matters on a bike is being safe and not getting hit by cars and not falling off that bike. I have some of the bigger accidents that I've seen on bikes have not even happened around a car. There was a girl who fell off the bike after she like put one foot in, put the other foot in, and fell right over, shoulder dislocated. I mean, and it was just a moment, right? So yeah. Understanding like there's no right or wrong way. The only, let's just be as safe and careful as possible. The last thing I'm going to be worried about when you're on a bike is where your heart rate is. And hopefully for you, it's going to be the same thing. Because remember, it's not like you're going to die if your heart rate goes up to 150.
Yeah.
But we need to be conscious of effort levels. We don't need to have a miserable experience, right? So if you want to bike here and there, go bike here and there and do whatever it is you want to do. Just be cognizant of what you're doing and how hard that thing actually is and how much effort is actually required to do it.
All right. Next question. My last run was August 24th and I've walked a handful of times since then. For the next few days, sorry, pain management is the priority, then surgery on Wednesday. So this is just for context. This is from one of our runners in Maintain who is having abdominal surgery coming up.
Yeah, they said mine was minor too.
So hers is a laparoscopic cystectomy. That's what she wrote here. Is that, how similar is that to what you went through?
Mine was laparoscopic, but I don't know what a cystectomy is.
Okay.
Oh, cystectomy,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm like, yeah. My brain still can't smell.
That's okay. So the surgery is on Wednesday, recovery, and then reintroduction to running. What would be the best plan for me to follow in October? Will Runner Interrupted be up then? I'm still hoping that the Kiowa Half Marathon can happen for me in December.
Love yes, things. We're very hopeful that we are reasonably confident that Runner Interrupted. And remember, Runner Interrupted is included in our basic suite of programs. So if you're already a subscriber, you can just opt in to Runner Interrupted for that month.
Come back. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. So, and don't pressure yourself on it. So let's just, if Runner Interrupted is up and ready when you are, let's just hang out. Like, no need to hit pause on anything. Like, stay here, stay tethered to us. Comment in the threads. Tell us how the surgery was. Tell us how you're feeling. Let's keep this relationship really strong, and then we'll transition you over to Runner Interrupted, which is super simple. You'll have access to it in the membership area of the website, and you can just follow it however you want to. So what I'm more concerned with is if you could be like, decide right now, I'm going to start Rebuild on October the 6th, and then you're not ready on October the 6th.
Yeah.
That you're going to feel like you're behind some arbitrary number that you made up. So when I would much prefer that we plan to be in Runner Interrupted and only take up more work when we are certain we are ready for more work, because you are not behind in any way. Listening to your body is the most advanced thing you can do. You might need to sit in the hot tub and eat Cheetos for a month. And I want pictures of that if you do, because I fantasize about that stuff. And I'm going to be fantasizing about it until we get our hot tub. Mm-hmm. So you are... If it takes longer, they told me my surgery, I'd be up and running in 2 weeks. It was more like 5. Pretty. Yeah. I mean, I went for my first run on July 24th. I was still in some pain. I probably should have waited. And that's obvious. If you look at my Strava, I was just really eager. I felt so good. I'm like, I think it's over. Not just the surgery, but like the last 2 years, my joint pain is gone. The laxity is disappearing. All I wanted to do was run, and I probably started too soon. And I would much rather have that with you, where you feel really good and you're chomping at the bit to get out there, rather than you're in the hot tub eating Cheetos, feeling guilty that you haven't run yet because some doctor said, oh, you'll be fine in 2 weeks. Right. And it's more like 4. That right. doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That means your doc, there's something wrong with it. I will always take it as there's something wrong with your doctor. They ain't listening. Get a doctor who does. Not all doctors are terrible, but if you have a doctor who is garbage, there are lots of doctors out there. We're mending them more every day.
Woo. By the way, Amanda Williams says, I'm eating all the things, but I have my husband walk to the fridge for me because I'm tapering. Ha ha. And I think that is brilliant. And I am going to start doing that too. Sweet. Thank you for the idea.
My husband got up for me and got the Grubhub this afternoon. Love you, baby.
Yay. Oh, that's the best. That's the best. I took Ross to the birthday party and my husband made dinner, and I walked straight from the door to the table and sat down and started eating. I was like, I'm so hungry. This cannot wait. This cannot wait.
Right.
And it was the best. Yes.
I keep a box of protein bars in my bedroom because there are some nights where it's like, oh, and I just don't want to go back downstairs.
Yeah.
I realize I haven't eaten at 9 o'clock. Those protein bars are a lifesaver, but today it was like, I really don't need another snack. I had to keep my face out of the box.
So that's my good friend, my best friend from middle school. I was just here visiting from Australia for the past week, staying in our guest room. And she has always done this for her entire life. She's like a skinny bitty little person and always kind of needs to eat because she like can never quite hold enough food to like really satisfy her, but then she's
like the third trimester pregnancy.
Kind of, yeah. So she's just kind of always, she always needs to make sure she has food around because she goes from fine to cranky very, very quickly. And so she went out and bought Milano cookies because she loves to like go just walk the aisles of the supermarket and see all the things that they don't have in Australia and just buy them and eat them or not eat them, like maybe take them home. But one way or the other, just like being in their midst makes her really happy. And she had this bag of Milano cookies next to her bed the whole time she was here. And when Tristan was stripping the bed, he's like, man, she wasn't kidding. She was definitely eating cookies in the middle of the night. There are crumbs in these sheets. And I was like, yeah, she was very open about that. But of course she wasn't kidding. Why would you kid about that?
Why would you kid about that? That's amazing. It's also kind of poetic that she's in Dr. Coach Sarah Axelrod, Harvard University, PhD in Italian something, eating Milano cookies of all things.
The Milano
that probably have nothing to do with Italy.
No, oh, for sure, not at all. But those Pepperidge Farm Milano cookies are like, she has very, very specific cravings for American things. It's those and Annie's mac and cheese. And when she babysat for Roz one night, so Tristan and I could go out of the movies, and she made Annie's mac and cheese for the two of them, like a huge box, way more than either of them needed. And there was so much of it left over the next day, as I told her there would be. But she was so excited to get to share her Annie's mac and cheese with Roz, and Roz loved it. Anyway, eating all the things, clearly I could talk about it for days and days.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. I love it. All right, we have two more questions. The first one is this. I YOLO'd a Ragnar Sunset race yesterday. It was 4.75 miles. I did okay, but I was hot, and I realized how important it is for me to maintain my long runs each week, as the past few weeks, I cut them shorter due to time constraints. My question is, can you please remind me of all the good recovery things I should be doing this week? Of course, there will be foam rolling and avocado toast, but other tips and reminders would be appreciated too. Thanks.
Foam rolling for sure. All of the mobilization. Sitting with magnesium is really good. So an Epsom salt bath, like just making yourself soak in it. I know I'm not a bath person. I really hate baths. I think they're disgusting. Japan ruined baths for me forever. And I will never quite be the same. So I take a shower first and then I take my bath.
Yeah. I'm with you. Totally.
Yeah, because then you're not soaking in your own filth. It makes perfect sense. But when you put Epsom salt in there, your skin is very porous and it does absorb a lot, which is how it is easy to get spun out about the amount of aluminum that might exist in antiperspirant. But really, that is so minimal compared to, say, the benefits of sitting around 20 minutes in a warm Epsom salt bath where your pores are going to open. Make sure your feet are in the bath because your feet absorb more than anything else. It's one of the reasons why so many, you know, nonprofits want to go deliver shoes to countries where people don't wear them to protect the feet from parasites and whatnot from getting in them. Not that we have to worry about it. Just saying that like you're the biggest pores on your body, you're funny enough, are in your feet. So keep your feet, get in the bath, keep your feet in the bath, put Epsom salt in there too. And that will definitely accelerate recovery. If you're taking magnesium though, or if you're taking iron, make sure that you're taking magnesium and something like vitamin C with it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you're not going to metabolize it. It's just going to come to you. This is probably not the time to be eating tons of protein. We put protein on before the event, before and after the workout. After the workout for recovery, that's when we need carbohydrates. We need starches. Sweet potatoes are terrific. Spinach is really good. Eggs are always a good go-to because they have the vitamin B12 in there. So nutritionally, there's a lot that you can do. But that really what's going to be more important than anything else is replacing what your body would have used up. And drinking a lot of water and recovering, truly recovering, rather than jumping right back in because you missed things. Like this isn't a fraction. We can't cancel it out. It is what it is. We meet your body where it's at. We recover from here. And then we make, if we want to, we can make different decisions moving forward. But we don't try to kind of punish ourselves for being where we are right now.
Yep, I think that's all really good. The one thing that I wanted to make sure we got in there was water and rehydrating, especially if it was very hot. It's going to take a few days to really get back to normal, so expect that. Drink a lot, and at least whenever you're thirsty, take that as a sign that you need to drink.
It might be a whole new world.
Oh my god. Oh, this episode is out of control. I love it. It's so much fun.
You said we only had a couple of questions. I was like, we're going to have to hear a whole lot of Jordan.
Well, we got some more kind of under the wire. So I would say our question volume kind of doubled in size in the last hour before we started.
Well, good. They read my newsletter.
That's right. That's right. Okay. This is our last one. Sorry in advance for how long this is probably going to be. Have you met us? Don't be sorry. Tomorrow, Monday, the 23rd, is the right time for an opt-in. Is tomorrow the 23rd the right time for the optional EAT in Tenacious if my race is on October 5th? Or did I miss the right time for it last Monday? Also, I had a glorious 4-hour long run. Okay, so answer number one is that's fine. All right, totally cool. If you want to do it, do it. You know our thoughts on whether you want to do it or not. If only do it if you want to.
Remember, we gave it on week 18 in previous plans, so that
yes,
with
exactly
if you missed it or it didn't work out, you could do it on the 19th. So yeah. I told y'all to do it on the 19th, and anything went wrong, everybody would have lost their minds.
Right, exactly. So week 18, totally fine. Not in this case, week 18, 2 weeks out from your race is totally fine to do it. Yay. Okay. Last part of the question. Also, I had a glorious 4-hour long run yesterday, and no matter what happens on race day, yesterday's long run will forever live in my memory as perfection. Good. That's amazing. Good. I'm not a bit sore today, but everything was stiff and tired yesterday by the time 4 hours had passed.
Of course they were.
4 hours is a long time. Oh my God.
My fingers are still swollen from my long run this morning. When it's the first time you've gone that long in a while, it's normal.
Yeah.
Your tissues are going to be carrying all the excess fluid that your body's going to be producing in order to recover. So like that's, if you wake up the next morning feeling heavy, feeling bloated, feeling swollen, feeling sore, that's your body doing exactly what it was meant to do. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong.
Totally. And last, the last thing, and I think that this is a good thing to address because probably there will be others who want to hear us answer this question again, because I know we've touched on it before. I will be staring down 2+ more hours on those tired, achy muscles in order to complete the distance on race day. Any encouragement or mantras you can offer to make that seem less daunting would be so appreciated.
I'm so awesome. I'm so awesome. I would seriously chant that over and over and over again. Or you could, whatever you're doing is going to be better than this. And it gets better as you go, guys. And very seriously, it's part of the reason why I put that in there. If ever there's a time you've wanted to have, this song's going to get stuck inside, oh, this song's going to get stuck inside their head, stuck there. It's during a period when you really want time to pass and you don't want to focus on what you're doing. That's really what earworms are for. And that's what I'm going for every time I'm like, don't click this button, I'm giving you an earworm. And that's kind of strategic because whatever got stuck in my head during a long run is what I'm going to be sharing with you. And it can serve purpose. So when it comes down to the mantra, you're not less than in any way, like you're tenacious as fuck. That's hopefully it's the name of the plan that you're on. And just remember, I'm so tenacious. I'm so tenacious. I'm so tenacious. I'm tenacious as fuck. And there's no one here more tenacious than me. So own what you're doing and don't ever apologize for it. That's really like you deserve to be there. You paid money, take up the space, own
that's right.
The space. I can give you all kinds of stuff to sing to get through it if you really need inspiration.
I don't think anyone is going to turn you down for that, MK. I don't think anyone is. Maybe we should have at least one mantra over the next couple of weeks that's a race day focused mantra.
I think eat the Cheetos could be a race day focused mantra, Sarah.
Choose the Cheetos. It's choose the Cheetos. You got to have the alliteration. You have to do that mantra tonight. Please promise me you will. That's
promise. That's
the best. I love that. Okay.
If I don't fall asleep first, because I mean, I don't know if you can see my eyes. I'm like,
this has been, we've been going for a long time. We've been going for an hour and 10 minutes, and that's not counting our like 15 minute video conference with Roz before we even started recording.
She's amazing. I love watching her try to push you around. It's so great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And she knows that I feel bad because she's had her special buddy Gabby with her all this week. And now Gabby's gone. And she's got boring old me. And I feel sorry for her because she's having a little bit of a Gabby hangover. And she's like, yeah, I can use this to my advantage.
We've got more friends coming next week, right?
Oh, yes, she does. Shara Alpern is arriving on my doorstep on Friday evening. And then whoop, whoop. Stella is going to be here the next day. And Lisa Green is coming with us. We are all road tripping up to New Hampshire for Yurt City. Yurt O'Clock.
Yurt O'Clock. That is what needs to be on a t-shirt. It's Yurt O'Clock.
Yurt O'Clock. Maybe that'll be the Friday mantra this week.
Oh my God.
Okay. I think it might happen.
Wait, your race is this Saturday?
It's Sunday.
Wow. I keep thinking it's like next Sunday, but next Sunday is that.
Sunday is a week from today when we are doing Ask the, hey, oh my God, special guest Ask the Coach, because Shara and Liz are going to be staying here next Sunday night.
Yay.
We should have group totally. Ask the Coach. That's going to
be like group therapy, only more fun.
Yeah. And they can, I don't know, massage my feet or something while I try and keep my head straight and answer questions.
Well, I'm sure somewhere Shara is listening going like, I'm getting up to tell.
Forget about that. I better change my train. Yeah, no, they're both staying here Sunday night after we get back. It's going to be great. Roz will be very excited to have lots more of an audience. And we'll all get in here and answer some questions together. So if you have a question that you've been holding back, you get double the answers next week.
Love it. Don't love it. Well, on that note, I'm going to go lay down because I ran 18 miles this morning and my legs is tired.
Yay, Coach MK. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. The fast 5K at the end was probably a terrible idea. And that, if I wouldn't be this tired if I hadn't done that, but whatever. We were talking about critical power and I'm like, isn't this what it's for? If we had done this in the second mile, that would be stupid. But I'm doing it in the last mile, which means it's okay. I'm using up the rest of my chips.
Mm-hmm. And you are fit enough that you get to just say, hey, I feel like doing this. And whatever the consequences are, they are. Like, I'm probably going to be really tired later.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to eat a pizza and take a nap. It's going to be great.
Woohoo! Enjoy your rest. You've earned it so, so much. And that goes for all the rest of you, too.
You are coached. You are loved. Keep winning it this week because you're not going to be in a yurt with a voice like this right behind you.
Way up here, but now I'm in the world.
Your face is so funny when you do that. Oh my God.
Like, thank God for auto-tune. And then my... whoever invented, because evidently when this initially played in the BBC, like no one noticed it. And then the sound engineer said that she was so terrible backstage to them that they were like, well, here's the real audio and released it on YouTube, which was new at the time.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Can you imagine?
A whole new world indeed.
Like, so she made it through the whole event with autotune. And the sound engineer stripped the autotune. So the studio audience heard her as she was. The people at home in the UK heard the autotune version. So when this hit newspapers the next morning, I remember I was in graduate school at the time. This is 2008. I was in grad school at the time and I was getting emails about it from like everyone I knew in Hong Kong. Like, let me just happen. So this is like a big deal. There's like the mask falling back. Like, we knew things were produced. We didn't know to what extent. And this was like, oh, autotune's a thing. Yes, people use it live in concerts. Yes, people use it on stage. Yes, it is used whenever there's a sound delay. So there you go. Anything you heard that sounds pretty good might have been autotuned. And if it was, do you really care?
Right, exactly.
I don't.
Does that change the experience that you had?
On the hills, the people were... You know, when Whitney Port was talking about, Heidi's, was she singing live? I don't know. That wasn't real nice, Whitney, because who cares? Yeah, it is really hard to sing and dance live together.
Yeah.
With or without autotune, whatever, you know, it doesn't ruin the magic in any way. It's kind of dumb if you don't use it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tool. Use the
Beyonce
tool.
Lip synced to the national anthem and she owned that. She was like, I was not going to take any chances for Barack and Michelle. And I'm like, thank you, Beyonce. We appreciate them.
That's your best. Right. Oh my gosh, I remember that now. Well,
not cheating. She's still Beyonce.
It's a whole new world in so many ways tonight. And I knew something about autotune, but I actually did not know what it was at all. And I completely forgotten about Beyonce lip syncing the national anthem until you just said that. And I'm glad you reminded me of that because that was the smart choice. That was entirely the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, this is what it comes down to. This is what, when we talk about pop culture, who do we let off the hook and who do we decide to go after? This woman, Katie Price, whether or not she went by the name Jordan, she was a Page 3 girl, whether or not it was fair, the treatment that she got, almost beside the point. The she was one that rose from nothing, and people were really excited to tear her down. And this was how it started. Mm-hmm. Her marriage collapsed less than a year after that. And she's been not very successful ever since, because she, and not just because of this, like she had trouble getting past it. There were other things. This is just sort of, you know, it is brave to go on any stage knowing that you sound like this and still being willing to sing with autotune. And I will give her credit for that till the day I die. You got balls, girl, in the most loving and non-misogynistic way possible. You are brave. That is terrific. May we all be brave as Katy Price and have hobbies that supersede mine of looking for these moments and reading comments on YouTube. Yay. I read it so you wouldn't have to, because you're coached and you're loved. Go win at the week.
Woohoo!